to me today. And right now, as we're here right now, 11:30, Jason Rockwell is the chaplain for the Savannah Sand Nats, and this is his first chapel of the year. So he's speaking today, and right now. So let's pray for Jason in that role. He has influenced it. Just think about this. These young men and their family, God only knows where they're going to spread out and go play baseball when they leave here. Some don't play baseball, but some get the call and go on to other places. And already there are stories of those who have come back, those who have been led to Christ. So let's pray for, boy, they're having a good time back there, aren't they? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for my brother Jason. I thank you that he's answered your call, and he's walking in a place that probably 10 years ago, if someone had said, you'll be doing this, he said, say what? Lord, I just love it. I love what you're doing in people's lives, and we celebrate this with him today. And I ask your anointing to be upon him as he, more than what he says, and God, I pray you'll charge up his words with the Holy Spirit, but even more than what he says, who he is will come through to these young guys, and then the coaches and the staff that is there, that they'll feel the presence of God. We thank you for him, God. I pray you'll bless him. And Lord, bless him in his new business, too. And I pray that you'll provide for him in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, over the past several weeks, actually the past several months, Lord's been wearing me out with passages that in the Scripture that talk about shepherding and being a good shepherd of the flock. The Bible's very clear. There's some very intense passages, particularly in the Old Testament, about what bad shepherds are. And God's just been underlining for me how important it is to be a good shepherd in these days. I hope today that you're going to listen to this message I'm going to share with you out of my heart. Now, for those of you who are our guests today, we welcome you. We're glad you're here. But I want you to know you've come into a family. And it's kind of like being around the kitchen table today. I want you to listen to my heart as I share some scriptures with you. We start a new series of messages today entitled The Battle for Our Lives. And I want you to hear me clearly about the battles that are going on in our lives right now. Now, some of the things I'm going to share with you today, I wish that when I was a very young Christian, that someone would have given these truths to me, and shown me how this works. When you look at the Scripture and you see all of the times in which the Scripture talks about living in the world as being like living through a battle. Any of you felt like you lived through a battle this week? Anybody? Well, four or five of us are honest. I guarantee you that this week that there are some things that came against you. Some situations, some family, some stuff that was going on, and some stuff that just seems to cycle back. Have you ever brought that before God and said, this stuff just keeps coming back again and again in my life or in the lives of the people around me? Lord, like Jerry Clower, shoot up here amongst us. One of us needs some relief. Do something. So, here today, as I introduce this today, we're going to talk about this for several weeks. We talk about the battle for our lives. But today's message is entitled, The Nature of the Battle. I want you to look at this, this verse from John 10:10. It says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose, this is Jesus speaking, is to give life in all of its fullness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that we could be open to hear from you. God, today, I'm not interested in people necessarily hearing what I have to say as much as hearing from you. And God, I'm praying that you'll take me out of the equation. So, God, that today I could just be a conduit for your word and your truth. Speak now, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, let's take a look at our world for just a moment. Would you agree with this statement? Evil is a present reality. Have you faced evil this week? Have you seen it personally? You think about all the ways, and I'll never forget the when 9/11 took place. And all that, the newscasters fumbling and stumbling around on their words, trying to not say the obvious, that evil is a present reality. We were in Haiti. There you saw the face of evil. To see aid that people have, through blood, sweat, and tears from all over the world, have gotten together to feed people and water and all of those things, stacked up at the airport and stacked up at the shipyard there in Port-au-Prince and not being distributed to people. And why? Because some people are holding it up for their own political reasons, for their own financial reasons. Now, that's not to fault everyone down. I'm just making an observation. Have you seen evil in Savannah this week? Seen evil? One person taking advantage over another. Evil manifesting itself in various ways. It's a present reality, is it not? Do you believe that? Secondly, good is often overshadowed, isn't it? Are our newspapers and our newscast filled with the stories of the good that happened? Of course they're not. Evil often gets front page billing. It sells newspapers. The good often gets muscled out by the evil, pushed aside. And I don't have to look out there to see that. I can see that in my own life, and even just dealing with my children sometimes. They may have done 10 things right, and what do I zero in on? You see? So as I start dealing with evil, maybe the first place I need to look at evil is that face I shave. All right, number three. Do you agree with that? Evil's personal. It's very difficult to take away the personal nature of evil, isn't it? We tend to see this very clearly when we become the victim of evil. We remember the face of evil, that it happened to us. As we were down in Haiti, and looking into the faces of people, because down there it's no subtle subterfuge of evil. Bam! It's right up in your face. It's there. Number four. The idea of the devil, Satan, Lucifer, must be dealt with. You know, the burden of proof needs to shift to people saying, well, you prove to me that the devil doesn't exist. Show me the proof that he doesn't exist. Go throughout the world and honestly look and tell me that we're not battling with an evil presence. Have you felt that presence before? So let's quit beating around the bush. Let's look at some truths about the devil. Now, I want you to know today, and I'm sure in a crowd this size, that there are some of you that are skeptics. Maybe some of you that call yourselves Christians, they're skeptics about this and say, oh, when it talks about the devil in the Bible, it's just talking about, that's just an idea and a concept. Well, I want you to say that very same thing when you face evil personally. Say the same thing when you're in the middle of it and experience it. It's easy to sit over here and sit in judgment when you're safe and secure away from it. But how about when you've been the recipient of it? All right, first point. The Bible is very clear. Its teaching is very plain. Scripture says in Matthew 4:1, then Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Now, the Scripture does not stutter on the subject of the evil one. He's real. He's alive. We see him in the first few lines of human history. Is he not there? He's there in the garden. And a battle is going on in the garden. Isn't it happening there? With Adam and Eve. Now, these are not, I'm not giving you, picking out obscure passages of Scripture with funky pseudo-interpretations of God's Word. I'm showing you, they're in the garden. There's Adam and Eve battling with the devil. And here's Jesus in his coming out party, in his first act, as he's coming out public for his public ministry, the Scripture says, after he was baptized, that he was led of the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested by the devil. And Jesus is our model. I'm asking you today, if it happened to Jesus, should we be exempt? So it's something that the Holy Spirit was leading him to the truth of an experience of life to show us, as he would show us, how we're supposed to react. This is real stuff. Number two. Just for information purposes, you say you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in that there's a real devil. I don't believe in that Satan stuff, but I believe in Jesus. Well, then you've got a problem with Jesus. Because Jesus believed in the reality of the devil. Here we see him again as he's out there being tested. He says, "Get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him." After his baptism, Jesus was tested by the devil out in the wilderness. You see, you can't just pick and choose and say, well, I'm going to accept his baptism and all those experiences there, but that experience out in the wilderness with the devil, I'm going to pull that out because it doesn't suit my purposes. Are you following me? I hope you are. Number three, the devil is part of an unholy trinity. Look at this passage from John 16, 9 through 11. The world's sin is unbelief in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you'll see me no more. Judgment will come because the prince of this world has already been judged. You see in this passage, we have a revelation of the world, the flesh, and the devil that we're struggling against. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about those. In the flesh, we struggle for righteousness because we choose to do evil. There's that battle. Do you struggle with that in your flesh? About doing right or wrong? How many of us did something wrong this week? Let me put two hands up. Now, if you don't think you did anything wrong this week, ask your wife or family member, did your husband or wife do something wrong this week? Preacher's trying to trick us, get us in trouble. All right. The devil is the prince of this world. That's what the scripture calls him. It calls him the prince of the power of the air. And he has a certain amount of authority, and we battle against him. We also battle against the world system in which we live. We live in a fallen world, do we not? A world that system, just look around the world and look at how things systematically happen, how people are systematically abused or categorized or mistreated, generations of that happening. Great evil done through the world system. So it's all three. Struggling in the flesh, struggling with the world system, and struggling with the devil and his angels. All right, number four. The devil's our enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, "Be careful, watch out for the attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for some victim to devour." What happened when you became a follower of Jesus Christ? Who became your enemy? You suddenly got a target painted on you. You know, to put it in Top Gun terms, you got tune. You heard that beep, 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 beep. You're You came into the crosshairs because you chose a side. You chose Jesus, and therefore, because you chose Jesus, who is against you? Satan's against you in everything that you do. He's like a roaring lion. He wants to destroy you and destroy your witness. Have you ever noticed how that happens? Things get going good in your life, and then what happens? Something comes along, an attack. And a lot of times it's a little subtle thing. And where does he usually attack? The weakest area. The weakest link. He'll come at you. Now, it doesn't always come at that place, but usually that's where it's at. Things get going well in a church, and what happens? An attack comes to sidetrack you. Your family, your marriage, your personal relationships. I want you to know there's a persona that is behind this evil. Satan himself. He wants to see us fail. He wants to see the mission of the church fail, which is the redemption of mankind. He wants to neutralize you. Number five, he's a liar. Okay? We've talked about this a lot. In John 8:44, it says, when he lies, he's consistent with his character, for he's a liar and the father of lies. The lies is his chief weapon against you. So he's called names in the scripture like deceiver, accuser of the brethren. He's going to come and lie against you. Now, I want to ask you this question. When you became a Christian, those of you who are in this group today are believers in Jesus. You trusted Christ. Has the evil one, have you ever had these thoughts before that have come to you? Well, you can't really believe in God. Did God really forgive you? Did that really happen? Where's that coming from? Do you see that? Because a lot of times, he doesn't have to just throw you down. All he's got to do is get you to stop. He just wants to neutralize you. And he'll do it with a lie. That's why when Jesus says that he is the truth. And what does he say the truth will do? It'll set you free. So when Satan speaks to you, what's coming out of his mouth? Lies. So whose voice should you be listening to? Now, does that mean the devil's not going to come and try to speak to you? That you're going to be able to cut off and that you're never again going to hear him speaking to you? Of course not. But you've got to be able to say to him, go, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to the truth. Number six. He has an agenda. Back to our original verse that we read today, John 10:10. Thief's purpose is to steal, get these now, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus says, my purpose is that you'd have life and have all of its fullness. You see, the devil wants to steal the life Jesus has promised for you. Now listen to me closely, church. Some of us have continued to play the old tapes from the past, and we are letting our past that Satan keeps reminding us of, or some offense or something that went on, we're letting that rob us of the present reality of the blessing of Jesus, who wants to give us life and a full life. How many married couples are still living in the past and fighting with one another and going at one another instead of living in forgiveness of the past? And let's now enjoy the blessing of God for now. You know, it's like being out there in the middle of the big park today with all of that glorious splendor of color that is around you and decide, well, that's the place where we're going to have the biggest argument of our married life and miss everything. Do you ever feel like you've missed it? Am I talking to you? Am I talking to me? Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. No self-righteous stuff. You know, it doesn't take an Einstein. You know, I don't have to be a rocket scientist to look at it. The devil wants to kill you physically, financially, economically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. He'll come at you any way he can. Because he does not want you to enjoy the fullness of Christ. Because you know what happens when you start enjoying that fullness of Christ? More people come to the party. You know what? When he reminds you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. Of what God's going to do with him. All right. Let me conclude. So, how do I deal with this real devil? I'm just taking one part of it today. I'm just introducing this, getting your attention today. I hope, as shepherd of the flock, God's under shepherd. How do I deal? Well, first of all, I've got to realize that I'm in a war. I'm living in a war zone. And I need to start acting that way. Look at Ephesians 6:12. For we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realm. This is a war. War has been declared on you and your family. Let me ask you this. Some guy comes up to your house. Some of you guys here today. Some man comes up to your house and has got a weapon in his hand and he's trying to break and he's shouting out threats. I'm going to kill your family. I'm coming at him. What would you do? What would you do? You would do whatever you had to do to keep them away from your family, wouldn't you? Whatever it took. Whatever it took. I'm sounding a wake-up call for us to start doing that today. With our families, with our relationships, with all the things that are going, it's time to realize that a war is going on. A war for our souls. It's a spiritual battle, and it's got to be fought with spiritual means. Number two, how do we deal with him? Well, secondly, we need to tell the truth about the devil. Now, here's one truth you need to know. He's not omnipresent. Only the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. That means all present. He can't be everywhere at one time. Now, being the fallen angel that he is, he does have limitations of time and space. So, I know what your immediate question is. Well, Dusty, when I'm feeling a manifestation of an evil presence over here at my house, and I'm talking on the phone to my buddy across town, and he's feeling an evil presence, what's going on there? I thought you say he's not omnipresent. Well, he has many minions, that's a good word, who are cooperating with him. Probably as many as a third of the angels fell, and when the angels fell, they became demons. Demonic presence. So, now, we're not even talking about our struggle with the world system and with the flesh. We're just talking about this evil presence. So, not omnipresent. And realizing what is his primary weapon against us? The lie. To come against you with the lie. So, we've got to permeate our lives with the truth. Third thing we need to realize is that he is a defeated foe. When was he defeated? On the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That victory was complete, and one day God is going to finish carrying out that sentence upon him in its complete form. And we'll never have to deal with him again. Here's another truth. He does not have access to your mind and your life unless you give him access. That means you've got to cut off the places where you're giving him access. Let me give you an example. One of the places where we give access to the evil one is when we dwell in the lie. When we believe a lie. That gives him access to us. When we open ourselves up to negative things in our lives. Like anger. Some of us give in to that and we give him a landing pad in our lives. We need to tell the truth. Number three. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus and bow down before him and say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. He has already defeated the evil one. So why not turn to the one who has already defeated him and ask him to come in power to your lives? Number four, we need to stay under God's cover. What is God's cover and protection for our lives? His body, the church. The church is the body of Jesus on this earth. We cannot expect for God to honor us and protect us when we are outside of the body. There is no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. Or as one of my relatives told me back a couple of years ago, he said, I've just got my own relationship, my own thing going on with the big guy. No, you don't. That's not what this book teaches. This book teaches the body of Jesus, the hands and feet that we become a part of. Because who are we going to spend eternity with? Are you just going to have a room by yourself? Huh? You're going to be with the body forever. But see, that becomes a plot of the evil one to get us off from the body so he can do what? Pick you off one by one. We need to stay under God's cover, being a part of his body. And I want to put in a plug here today. And not this expression, the large group expression of his body, and the small group expression of his body. Both and, not either or. Being a part of that so we can dwell in strength, not in weakness. Number five, if we're going to deal with the evil one, then we need to use the tools God has given us. And what are the weapons of our warfare with him? Well, being a part of his body, a larger army, you go into a battle and here the forces arrayed against you, one of the first things you're going to do is get what? Help. So you're not alone. We're going to use prayer. Prayer. Communication. Every army dwells with communication. You've got to communicate with the one who will tell you when to turn right, when to turn left, and what to do. The gifts of the Holy Spirit that he's given us to exercise. And every one of us that comes to Jesus, we get a gift. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, about giftedness and using those gifts through the power of God, revelation. Let me give you one example of how God will use a gift. Have you seen recently where God has prompted you, unbeknownst by you, not because you got a letter, an email, a phone message or something for someone, but just all of a sudden, he said, you need to be praying for this person right now. Anybody had that experience? And then what do you find out later on in the week? When you were praying for them, what was happening? They were in the middle of the battle. Do you see how God works? And using our gifts, using everything that he's put at our disposal. The fruit of the Spirit, dwelling in the fruit of the Spirit, with everything, every tool that he's put at our disposal to use as we battle, using all the weapons of our warfare. I tell you what, he brings out a knife, you get out a gun. He brings out a gun, you get a rocket launcher. He gets a rocket launcher, you nuke him. Do you get it? Because who is Lord over all? Jesus. Jesus Christ is Lord. And at last, he's the one who's going to be left standing. And finally, I can't stress this enough. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God himself instead of filled with all the junk of this world. Let the Spirit of God fill you. Fill you. With his power. With his presence. Such that people around you aren't going to say, he's a nut. That's not what you're looking for. But such that they'll say, he's different. Something spiritually is different about his life, about what he says and how he says it and what he does. And sometimes it's just kindness. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes it's humility. And then other times, it's right up front with saying, standing for what's right and saying, that's wrong, and I'm going to stand for what's right. Do you understand me? Now listen to me. Some of us, unless something changes, are going to keep recycling the same garbage in our lives over and over and over again. It's time to realize that we're in a real life battle. and to start listening to God's instruction about how to fight the battle. Are you with me? Do you understand me? Now today, I drug out a lot of stuff, but not nearly as much as we're going to drag out over the next several weeks. Let's pray together. I'm going to open the altar today. And rather than have anybody else standing up around today, we're just going to open the altar today. And, if you want to go get someone and pray with them today, or you need someone to talk to, I'll direct you to somebody today. But I just feel like today we need to have the simplicity of opening the altar. And if you'll come and pray. Not that God won't answer your prayer right where you are, but maybe you'd like to come and pray at the altar today. Has God spoken to you? Has He made things clear to you today? Maybe you need to come and pray. The altar's open right now. Lord, I thank You for hearing our prayers. And today, God, we realize we're in a life and death struggle, a battle for our lives. A battle to be the people of God, to be all that You've called us to be. And not continue just recycling the garbage of the past. Be victimized by the evil one. Lord, we're ready today to quit being victims and start being victors in Jesus. Because the victory is Yours and we belong to You. I'm asking You, Lord. Some of us today are struggling with things, Lord. Real life stuff that is just eating us up. And I'm asking You today to come, Lord Jesus. Come. As we call upon You in faith and we apply those scriptures that we read today, apply them in our lives and see the Lord Jesus come with power and do marvelous things in our life so that we can become the army of God that You've created us to be in this world. An army driven by love. Not by hate, but by love. The love of Jesus. And I thank You for that. Baptize us anew today, Jesus, with Your love. May we feel that. Lord, we open the altar now. Come. Come, Spirit of God. Come to us. Look this way, if you will. Has God spoken to you today? My prayer was today that this wouldn't just roll off of you today. I just tried to speak to you from my heart today, not religion, not churchianity, but the battle that's going on that we're involved in the world right now and in our world right where we live. So let's make sure we pray for one another. Now, how many of you had the thought, well, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message today? Anybody have that thought? Okay. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. There's several others. I want you to know, before I preach the message to you, my toes are already sore from the Spirit of God doing a tap dance on mine about all these truths. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm just giving these truths that God's given to me for us as a body. We praise the Lord. As you look around, if there's someone you see that's not here today, why don't you give them a call this week? Let them know you missed them today. We got people traveling, people sick and all that, but they still need to know we missed them today. If you hadn't heard, the Freemans young Silas finally made his appearance. Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. Because Jenny was ready. She said, I feel like I'm going to pop. And 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 21 inches long. What a blessing. Silas Elliott Freeman is here, and now the fun begins. All the joy of that, including for little Sylvie, as she'll be displaced, as you know, she'll still be queen, but a king has arrived. So Megan knows about that. Let me send you out in the name of the Lord. Anything else, Dane or Rick? If you haven't met the, we've got quite a contingent from the Drabecks that are here today. We continue to pray for the Lindsay family this week in their loss of Kenan. His funeral was this week. So let me pray us out, send you out in the name of Jesus. And if you really want to, maybe you want to put your hands up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to receive this prayer right now. Lord, I'm thanking you for your truth and for your power and what you do in our lives. Lord, we thank you for Silas is here safe and sound. We thank you that Kenan is in heaven with you safe and sound. And right now, we ask you to send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit to be your hands and feet this week, to do battle in the name of Jesus, baptized in His love. Baptize us anew and afresh in your love as you send us out. We can't speak the truth unless we speak it in love, just like you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.